The plan actually is to conclude the teaching today, all right, on Christ, the final truth. All right, we should conclude it today. That's the plan. But of course, the way it goes sometimes, I'm not very, let's just see how the Holy Spirit moves. Christ, the final truth. What did I call it? All right, we are going to try and conclude that today. We'll read the scriptures, two of Paul's letters, to explain this principle again. Please, I can't say this enough. Why am I doing this teaching? Why am I explaining these things? I want Christians to understand that we are not trying to make God love us. Are you getting my point? That's why we're doing all of these teachings. We are not trying to make God bless us. A lot of things that Christians do, people do these days, they are throwovers, you know, carryovers from the time of Judaism. And let me say something. Judaism is not only, it was not just about Okay. It's not just about the laws of Moses or Judaism itself. It's about former times, because many of the things we do today, they actually began before Christianity came, before we even knew about the laws of Moses. People brought those things over from African religions. And let me say this again. A lot of the fears, now notice that, a lot of the fears of Africans have been turned into religion today. I don't know whether you got what I said there. Yes, you find all this enemy is the typical African fear. Professor Ayo Benitez said that the number one thing in the heart of an African is to be at peace with his neighbor. So everything that is wrong, it is who is doing this? Who is responsible? Things just don't happen by themselves. An African mindset is that another human being did it. You know, the Israelite mindset is that it's from the hand of God. But the African mindset, the Nigerian, at least most of the Nigerian tribes, their attitude is another person did this to me. I told a story of a colleague of mine who was in a taxi. He slept off. Apparently, the driver of the taxi also slept off. You understand my point? And they were traveling. Of course, he wasn't at the back. He fell asleep, which is righteous. If you are paying money, you should be able to sleep. But the driver is not supposed to sleep. There's no autopilot for cars yet. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the man fell asleep. Both of them woke up when the car had gone off the road, of course, at good speed, and was going over the bumpy, you know, off road area. And finally, good enough, they were in a rough and kind of marshy, you know, terrain. So the car sank just a few feet from a tree that it was about to hit. And of course, by that time, the driver was awake. The passenger was awake. And the driver jumped out and shouted, "Who is doing this to me?" That was his interpretation of the fact that he fell asleep while driving. You know, the other day I saw one of my staff in the office. He had the wounds on his face. You know, the wounds were fresh about 2 weeks before that. And I saw him 2 weeks afterwards. He had healed better. And the guy is a bit of a ruffian, you know, that's my point. So I thought he had gone to fight somewhere, you know. It had happened before, you know. They don't break ball. You know, this kind of break ball two-level fighting. The boy does stuff like that. So I asked him, "Oh boy, so what happened?" He had an accident. I said, "Are you sure it's an accident? Is it a car accident or a human accident? I mean, like, are you getting my point? Is it a, you know, that kind of human accident?" He said, "It's a car accident." All right? So I said, "What happened?" I thought maybe he ran into somebody. You know, somebody hit him and stuff like that. He said, "No, he was driving." And then suddenly, something just covered my face. You see, it's a typical African way of reasoning. Something covered my face. So everything just blanked out, and then he had an accident. I said, "Should I tell you what covered your face?" He said, "What?" I said, "It's called sleep." That was what covered your face all of a sudden. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. That man, the other man I talked about earlier, what did he say? "Who is doing this to me?" If an African is sick, he starts checking who is doing this to me. It's an African mentality. Now, you may say, "Where did it come from?" Well, you've not seen people do. I know, I am aware. People do things to people. I've told you, let's even forget the normal, uneducated African man's testimony. I've heard the testimony of white people, educated people who came as missionaries, and they saw those things happen. But you see, those things are not the common things. Most of the time, things happen to people. Most of the times, things just happened. A lot of them happened by their own handwork. Are you getting me? By their own negligence, by their own refusal to do what is right. But the typical attitude is they point a finger and say, who is doing this to me? Now, this is the point. Churches have now built around that. That is why you find churches wake up every day, they start praying. What is the prayer? Enemy, my enemies, somersault, die, die. Everything is about enemy. You know why I'm going over all of this? Going over all of this again? To let you know that we carried things that were before Christ into Christ and we formed the religion on them. So right now, in at least Nigeria, in Africa, we have two problems. Our first problem is Judaism. We carry Judaism into Christianity. So before you can prosper, you must tithe. Before you can prosper, you must carry first fruits and go to church. Before you can prosper, you must redeem your firstborn. All things that have no meaning in Christianity. That's our first problem. Our second set of problems is our African fears. In the midst of that, we start looking for who's pursuing me. I started a business. Why is it not doing well? Why? Why is it not doing well? We carry all those things. We now call it Christianity. So we start a church on attacking enemies and ancestral problems. It is never our fault. It's never our fault. It is the great grandfather that went into a covenant that said we should never do well. So a religion has formed around it. So you're having problems. People start doing divination, trying to divine who it is it that caused the problem. If it was in India, what they do is to find out what you did in your previous life. Because they believe it's what? Reincarnation. So when you find, everything, the other day I went to, please, don't be offended by this, but you see, this is my year of fruitfulness. Believe us, amen. So it's my year of telling the truth, no matter who's angry. that was yesterday, I went for a funeral. And it was in the church. You know the kind of church, I don't have to tell you the story. So, okay, Israel, now me and you go. Israel was the culprit, two of us. So as we're going, I saw one statue of a man, well decorated inside glass, outside the church. So I said, who is this? So I went closer to go and see who it is. Israel knows very well. He told me it is St. John the Evangelist. I shook my head. I said, this is when Christians carry European idolatry and brought it to church. So we cannot give the idols the name that Europeans gave it. We gave it the name of Christians. I just shook my head. The other day I was, we're looking for something. We're coming back from Benin. One of my in-laws, and like my wife's auntie, was there. They finally said, hey, I knew St. Anthony would look for it. I said, St. Anthony is dead. He can't see. St. Anthony will look for it. Where is St. Anthony? Can he see from heaven down to earth? I just said, who is that? Like, who is St. Anthony? In case you don't know, when Christians die, they are dead. On the resurrection, they are permanently dead. That's where they are. They are with Christ Jesus. They are not here. People say they make intercession for you. That's a carryover of idolatry into Christianity. There are two groups of people that can make intercession. In fact, one group of people can make intercession for you. They must be alive. And that is why Jesus makes intercession. He ever liveth. That's the problem with Christianity. We carry all of this, we carry it into Christianity. Then we refine Judaism with all kinds of things. The latest of all the confusions in Christianity today, let me say it clearly. This is my year of fruitfulness, so amen? So this is my year of telling the truth without, I don't care whose ox is God. I will tell you the truth, bah, like this. If your nose bleeds, it's your problem, it's not my fault. Then I say, you come and redeem your firstborn. Redeem your firstborn. Christianity. Ha! Please, now I'm begging you people. Let us know when we are doing Christianity and doing Judaism. Like I said last time, listen, there was a time, listen to me, we were playing. And once it's play is good. We are children of God. If you're a child of God, say amen.
Amen.
And children love to play. When my children were coming just now, they were carrying biscuits to come for Bible study. So I told all of them, you put the biscuits in the car or you eat it after Bible study. Don't come and mess my office with biscuit eating. That's why they are called children. So sometimes when we children come to church to play, God also looks and says, they are playing. We build our sand castles outside of our homes. God says we are playing. The problem begins, like I said, when we now go and put to let outside of our father's gate. So your father says, what are they letting? He said, my, the castle I built with sand. Ah, oh boy. Wait, that joke is getting too serious. That's why when we start doing harvest, God doesn't complain. When we start doing all those things, God doesn't complain. Or we make a joke, say, first fruit, God doesn't complain. Then we suddenly say, without this, you will not prosper. I say, wait. You're advertising your joke house, and I don't like it. These things started, God overlooked a lot of them. But somebody like me speaking now, because I'm tired. Little by little, a generation will come, they won't know what Christianity is again. Because we just allow some things to be. Please, my emphasis, let's understand what Christianity is. Let me tell you what Christianity is. When Paul began to preach Christianity, it was a major problem. When Peter and Paul were preaching, it was not too much of a problem because they were nice guys. They went to the temple. They observed the feasts. Then Paul went, preached to the Gentiles and told them that the Gentiles are equal with the Jews. Voila. That was the problem. When he carried Christianity into the level that God said it should be in, there was trouble. He said to them simply, whether you are a Jew or you are a Gentile, you are equal in Christ. No, that was when problems began for him. The reason why the Jews were always after Paul was simply because of that. He told them simply, you don't need a priesthood anymore, thereby stopping an industry that is generating billions. I don't know whether you got that. Paul came and said, you don't need a priesthood. Every believer is now a priest in Christ Jesus. You have stopped. Do you know what they call industry? Let me tell you what they call industry. That temple. Every animal. Oh, you are not getting what they call industry. There are farms that survive on the sacrifices of Israelites. You are saying the farms you close down. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are professional slaughterers. There are those who dispose and burn the entrails. Now, I'm not talking about the priests now. I'm talking about the priesthood, their garments. You know, there are tailors that they went to school to learn to sew only priestly garments. The dry cleaners that have shops near the temple to keep those garments clean. You are not getting what I'm trying to explain. The temple has to be maintained. You are closing down a whole industry. And then ending the, you know, when the priest will shout, will come out, everybody will bow, high priest. And then, apart from the high priest, there were the normal priests and the low priests. Paul came simply and said, it doesn't work like that. You should know why, if you were them, you will stone him too. You know, most of us today, we will stone him. Many of the things we preach today, why a lot of pastors won't let me talk, it's not because it's not true, but I'm going after source of fund. Okay, let me say it the other way. There are things you have to be careful about. There are churches that say that all the first fruits go to their archbishop or their senior pastor. What is the reason? They say he's the high priest. I told you, be careful the title you take. No, let's tell the truth. What did I say? No, I didn't hear you well. So, Pastor Banky, be careful the title you collect. If they tell you the most superior evangelist, it's not a problem. It's pride that is disturbing you. You won't die. Don't worry. You only fall. You will not die. Pride goes before you fall. You will fall eventually. Most senior apostle, not title. You like it. You are proud. You won't die. One man said, I'm the bishop of the whole world. What's the big deal? What does it matter? Just preach. Whether you are the bishop of Kano East or the bishop of, like, one man in our head, there, I think I told the joke before. I think he called himself Balogun of, okay, let's just assume, I can't remember the town he used, but let's assume he called himself Balogun of Egbaland. So I don't know whether that's what exactly happened, though. Now, I'm not saying it's Egbaland, but somewhere around there, this really happened. But so let's assume it's the Awujale now sent him a message and said nobody made him the Balogun of Egbaland. We had a big signpost in front of his compound. So this was going to cause a highlight. So the man went there, removed the signpost, and put Balogun of Nigeria. Did you catch that? Okay, say, I cannot be Balogun of Egbala. No problem. He now turned it to Balogun of Nigeria. That one, the local traditional ruler couldn't say anything. The only person who can complain does not have that kind of title in his coffers. That's President Goodluck Jonathan or whoever the president is. So the man became Balogun of Nigeria. Yeah, so what I'm going to say, you can be any title you like. If you come tomorrow morning and I said, I'm now King Banky, what's the big deal? If I like Igbo land. You know I like Igbo land? There are so many autonomous communities. I'm the Igwe of the Kingdom World Autonomous Community. The Lord is good. So any title is okay, but there are titles you should be afraid of. Once you start hearing Most High, run away. Another one, once you start hearing High Priest, disappear. In Christianity, we have only one High Priest. His name is Jesus, and he does not have a partner on the earth. On the earth, his partner is the whole church. The church as a whole is equivalent, in quotes now, of Christ. So when you open your mouth and say you are the high priest, so you will collect first fruits in an assembly, you are begging for trouble. You have to be careful. You don't just go in there, titles you don't take. There are titles you look. There are titles you don't take. There's a way people will hail you. When they hail you too much, you call the person. Please, thank you very much. I like the appreciation. But please, can we temper it down small? I don't want that. They came after Paul and Co. did miracles. In the name of Jesus, they came to sacrifice. They were the ones that came to fight. You want to offer sacrifices? It's to God, not me. And his own sacrifice now is believe in his son. You know what I'm saying, all of these things? Christians, let's stop. Enough of Judaism. For a long time, we just bore with those things. But I think our children are growing into thinking that Judaism is normal Christianity and it's not good. We have a generation of Christians now that don't understand righteousness by faith. There's a generation of Christians that think that except you are committed totally to a particular church and you are serving them with all your might, you can never be righteous before God. You have a generation of Christians that still think that the passport to prosperity, the passport to long life, the passport to health is serve a man of God. We have them today. Christians still make statements like, why is anything happening to me? After all, I pay my tithes. After all, I do this. After all, I do that. The last fasting, I participated. And by the time they do all of them, they actually expect that they have fulfilled the requirements to attain righteousness with God. Therefore, nothing should go wrong. And I can say to you, God is totally unhappy. Totally. He's saying that is not how it is. Righteousness is by what? Faith. It is by what? Faith. Come on, say it like you believe it. It's by what?
Faith.
It is by what?
Faith.
Faith in whom? It's not by works. Let me explain what righteousness means again. We can't say this thing enough. Righteousness means God looks at you and says, you are okay. You are my friend. Righteousness means God looks at you and says, we can walk together. Righteousness means that God looks at you and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Righteousness means God looks at you and says, I can bless this fellow. Righteousness means God looks at you and says, my promises will come to pass in your life. That's the meaning of righteousness. And it says, how do you attain it? It is by faith. It's not by your works. It is by what? By faith. Let's give a special sacrifice so that we will provoke heaven. It's not Christianity. We said it at a time. But God said, you guys are playing. You will soon outgrow it. So he overlooked it. He said, but now you are not playing anymore. You actually are beginning to believe and entrench those things. So that we now make a statement, it becomes a cliche in Christianity. Nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. And people start repeating it. They don't realize it's not in the Bible. So when people want something from God, they say, what we are going to do, we are going to sow a seed. Something Jesus never said. mean, there are things that he was clear about. Whatever you desire, pray. Believe that you have received it. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You have not because you ask not. There are things that he said clearly. No equivocation, no missing of words. But we directly contradict his words and the words of the apostles of the Lamb and from our own doctrine, and we stick by it. So when somebody says supplies don't answer to prayer, it answers to seed. It sounds nice. It sounds poetic. Shakespeare could have said it. Except that it's not Christianity. It's not in the scriptures. What about seed? Go and read listen to my message, the switch of God's power. And I also wrote an article on it. What about seed? Seed and harvest is a normal principle of life. Give and you shall receive is not a commandment. It's an explanation of a principle which is used to encourage the heart of the man who does good. It's never the incentive for the doing of good. It is never an incentive for the doing of good. The way I like to illustrate all the time is about children. God blesses us with children. Many of us have children. Many of us will soon have. Some of us will have. All of us will have eventually by God's mercy. It is never an incentive. Take care of your children, they will take care of you when you are old. It's not an incentive. It's a true thing. They will honor you when you are old. But when you walk with the word of God, in old age, you will still be fruitful. You won't need anything from your children. It is not a blessing to need something from them. You are blessed. Even when you are old, you still have the capacity to give to them. But they will honor you. They will do things for you. Just to say, we respect the fact that you are our father, you are our mother. But that is not why you are doing anything for them. Why are you doing things for them? That is what fathers do. Why are you doing for them? That's what mothers do. If God were to open your eyes and say, as a Christian man, as a Christian woman, that this boy will not take care of you when you are old, we now say, therefore, I will not take care of him now. No, you can't say that. You continue to do because it's the duty of the father. It's the duty of the mother. And God said like this, can a woman forget her offspring? There are things that God has formed into her system that will not allow her to forget her offspring. By virtue of my profession, and of course, relationships in life, I have seen parents take care of children that physically speaking, there is no hope that those children will be able to do anything for them again, and that ever in life. Yet they will nurse this child. Nurse the child, and spend money. Why? That is what parents do. There's no other explanation. And that's what I'm explaining to Christians. Why do we do good works? That's what Christians do. They don't do any other thing. They are good workers. That's just their nature. They are good workers. They don't sow seeds because they are looking for anything. For God so loved the world that he gave. Because they were perishing, he said, please don't perish anymore. What do I need to do to stop you from perishing? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Listen, that's my own assignment for this season. To get Christians to understand what Christianity is. Enough of doing things to attain righteousness. Righteousness is by what? Faith. What is faith? It's simple. Faith means God says, I have done it for you. Accept it like that. Let's read these two scriptures I said we use for today. The title of my message for today is Christ Lives in Me. Christ Lives in Me. Ephesians chapter 2. Like I keep on saying, if you're a minister, you're a preacher of the gospel, don't worry about money. What did I say? What did I say? Two things you need to do. Directly ask God for money. And number two, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. Those are the two things. Those are the two things. It is not right. I pray preachers listen to this. And I like when I have preachers with me who I'm teaching this kind of thing. It is not right for a preacher to use the word of God to raise money. It's not right. It's not right. We say this thing again and again and again just to help people, just to help the church of God. If you're a pastor and you are listening to this, don't ever invite somebody to your church to come and raise money for you from your own members. It's called wickedness. What you can't tell them to do, and they will believe you. Who else do you want to come and tell them? There is nothing wrong with teaching people the word of God on money matters. I traveled to my friend's church sometime last year to go and preach. He and I talked. After a while, I told him simply, because he has some issues. I said, my brother, we preachers have our own problems. That is on the other side now. There are preachers who lie, who twist the word of God. Some of them don't know it's bad. They think it's the way to do things, to collect money. But there are some who err on the other side. They never talk about it at all. They never teach people. And then they are angry that people are not, because you see, you know, you are a human being. You and not forget about just being a human being. Some things are just right. If you are the pastor of, no, let me tell you the truth. You are pastor of a church. Everybody started in poverty, including you. And you kept on ministering the word of God. They began to prosper. Then one day they said, come and dedicate car. You dedicate the first one. Dedicate house. Dedicate the first one. Then when you come to dedicate, you come on a bike. Not your own. Commercial. After a while, four people have done that to you. And remember that at the beginning, because whether we like it or not, this word of God works. Amen? As you are preaching it, people's lives will be transformed by it. After a while, if nobody remembers you, you will get angry. And in case you are not angry, it is because of one of two things. Either you are extremely humble like St. Francis, or you don't know anything. And I think you are, in fact, I think you should be angry. I don't know what I said. I'm not saying you should go and fight somebody. But it's not right. It's just not right. Are you getting my point? No, let's tell the truth. It is not right. And it's in the scriptures. I discussed in my book, So We Pay For This. Paul said that if I ministered material things to spiritual things to you, when it begins to bring forth seed of material things, I must collect my portion. You go and kill the rabbit, we share it. That's the way it is. I tell you where the rabbit is, I pray for you, I arm you. But when you kill the rabbit, I must eat. So I told my friend, I said, you know the truth? There are bad people who err by twisting the word of God to collect money. I said, there are also bad people who err by not telling people the truth concerning money. Yes. So I said, look, maybe you fall in that other category. I said, you need to teach. I said, that's the problem. Generally, we don't want to, you know, in quote, we good in quotes now. You hear what I call good? I'm putting it in quotes. You read my article this week, this month, the last month's magazine. The good, the righteous, and the believing. Good and believing are two different things. So, a believing man is the one who obeys the word of God. A good man is the one that suffers and dies and doesn't talk the truth because he doesn't want to offend anybody. Get to my point. One of my greatest mentors in ministry, of course, I never met him, just his materials, is John G. Lake, John Graham Lake. I can say boldly, that was one area where my brother made a mistake. And all these ones that you'll be looking at people and say they are poor. Listen, around nonsense. Nobody's poor. Listen, if you teach the Macedonians were said to be poor, but when the word entered them, they gave so much, Paul was embarrassed for the Corinthians. My brother John G. Lake, our senior brother, will go to South Africa and preach. They will come. They will come to be preached to, come to be laid hands on, and they still want to be fed in the process. And he was doing it. His wife died of hunger. Poverty killed the woman. This was a man who, before he came into missions, by the standards of those days, he was a millionaire, an American. You know, when you read such things, you know, it grieves your heart. So I was like, God, why did you let this happen? So I began to study. One day I realized that, listen, there's so much that God can bear with. God said, teach the truth. These people are coming to be ministered to. After a while, I tell them, say, Ross, we don't try. Henceforth, when you are coming, we are going to take an offering for the man of God. They don't have money. They have yam. They have banana. They have palm oil. They have vegetables. When you are coming here, you come with whatever God lays on your heart. And for information, nobody is feeding you from here. You can feed yourself outside. Form community outside, cooperative of those who have come to be ministered to. And that's one area, if you ever heard the story of Martin Luther, God gave him a wife that didn't understand all this niceness. When you come to minister, the woman, you come to hear what? Where's our offering? The woman didn't used to. The woman's son is up. Hey, you came to hear what? Pastor, no good job. Why you are here? You no good job. You know, people come, Bible school. The woman will just look at her husband. Look at those boys. Bible school is in the evening, in the morning, everybody to the farm. He drive all the Bible schools. Hey, go and farm and cultivate potatoes. We no good job. No, well, why that? I'm digressing because I'm praying that ministers will listen to this also. That's why I do this thing, so that they will be helped. You don't place demands on anybody, but you teach the truth. When I got to my friend's church, I declared 4 days or so, or 3 days I was teaching, I said, financial truth. Let's tell the truth. Before I said, nobody's raising money while I'm here. No special offering. So you know that I didn't come to raise money. I just want to teach the truth. When Christians know the truth, they are good people. Pastor Man, how do you know? Because they are called Christians. If they are not good people, when the truth has been taught to them, they are not Christians. They are members of Boko Haram. Yes, when Christians know the truth, they are good people. If you're a pastor and your people are not doing what is right, it's one of two things. One, you've gathered them by all kinds of gimmicks, so they are not true believers. Are you getting my point? No, it happens. If you bring comedians to church every Sunday, everybody, your church will be full. People come to hear your comedy. If Two-Face is a special minister every Sunday in your church, I mean, think about it. Friday night, they will finish at the bars. Sunday morning, they will be in your church. That is one. Number two, even if they are Christians, the second reason is that you are not teaching them the truth. That's it. Either they are not, you didn't gather believers, or you are not teaching them the truth. If you are teaching them the truth, the word of God is a matter of time. Even if they were mafia dons, they will change. If they indeed are believers, unless they are not believers. Why did I go into all of that? We don't need to twist the word of God to get anything from anybody. That's why I went into all of that. We don't need it. As ministers of the gospel, we don't need it. With all these things that I say, this thing will go on the internet, you are aware of it. People will listen to it. And Kingdom World Ministries does not lack money. So, that's just a digression, all right, for people who are in ministry who may be listening to this. Now, I said we should open somewhere. I think we should be able to close this series today. I actually don't want it to be too long. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go to it again. We have read it before. I'm looking for where to start. Okay, let's just start from verse 4, which is kind of halfway through the paragraph, but I'm just going to verse 10. He said, but God, I will jump, of course, so as to save time. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. He said, by grace you have been saved. He made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. For we are his workmanship. That is, whatever we are what God created. God made us, not by our own strength. We cannot boast. What did he create us for? He said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God beforehand, which God prepared beforehand, that we that so that we will walk in them. He said, God prepared the good works beforehand so that we will walk in them. Why did I say this? Let's just look up for a moment. We'll read the other one, Galatians chapter 2. You can open to it meanwhile. We'll get that down to it in a moment. Why am I reading this again? To emphasize the fact that Christians do good works. It is why we do it or do them that's different. A brother wrote me the other day, wrote us, and he said, well, let me tell this other story first before I get to that fellow. A friend of mine, when he encountered, this was many years ago. Now, listen to this. I've told the story here before. Once, he told me, went to church. We met in church on Sunday. He said, Banky, we have to gist. And I said, what about? He said, we need to see. So when we saw, he began to explain to me that freedom is in Christ Jesus. Now, as a matter of fact, I did not realize he did not know that. I don't know whether you get the point. We had been friends for some time. I thought he understood it because by that time, I already understood it. Very early in Christianity, I understood that salvation is by faith. Very early in Christianity, I understood that I am accepted. When I heard the gospel of righteousness as a young student, I understood it quite well. Maybe not fully, but quite well. I understood that I've been made righteous by faith. Now, he was very active in church. The church we both attended then. Actually, he was there before me. He finished youth service long before I did. All right? So, it was by the time I arrived, that was in Lagos, he was, was the one I followed to the church, actually. So, he was very active. He was in charge of the, he was a member of the camera department. You know, they used to film stuff and all of that. Now, so, after we finished GC, one day, I realized something happened. He went to church and resigned from the department he was in church. He used to be very active. He stopped. He left the camera department. He left everything he was doing. He just used to come to church like anybody else, just stroll in and stroll out. And some people now said, they didn't understand his newfound freedom. That this is newfound freedom, they don't get it too. I looked at it then. Was it good he resigned? I said yes. I was very happy he did. Now, I said, Pastor Banky, so who will man the camera? We're not talking about the camera, we're talking about him. Now, are you getting my point? Here we have cameras. You're probably watching this on TV. It has to be filmed. All right? Well, why was I happy he resigned? Because apparently, by the time he discovered that gospel, all right, he realized that he had been working in church because he thought it was a prerequisite for being a good Christian. I didn't have that problem. If I was the one, I would have continued what I was doing. And of course, later on, he returns to work in the church in a different capacity. I can't remember now. But by that time, do you understand? He was doing it now like, the church needs my skill. And it is our church. Do you understand? So let me go and donate my skill. Because, I'm putting my own words now, I was created for good works. The first time he did that, all right, because as a Christian, you must be doing something for God. Then he realized that it's not like that. That I've been accepted in Christ Jesus. My righteousness is by faith in Christ Jesus. When he accepted that, he realized what he was doing was unnecessary. Remember that wrote us a message? He said he used to give like this. Because he thought that's how you prosper. He said, but after hearing me preach, he found out that it was not necessary, so he stopped. Why did he write the letter? He said, now I'm about to start again. This time, I don't know whether I get that. He said, this time I am doing this because I want to do it. This time I'm doing it with liberty. This time I am doing this because I know that it's not with compulsion. I just know that this work has to be done. That's why he wrote us a mail. That please, I would like to be contributing to the work of Kingdom World Ministries. That's why I tell pastors, don't be afraid. That is the same person who preached it, was a fellow, this man is writing to. That now that we understand truth and we can give with liberty, why can't we give to your ministry? It's not under compulsion. He said, now what I am doing because I am free. I'm adding my own words. I'm free to serve God. I am free. Let's take money as an example. So this is how I live my life. God has helped me. I'm not very good with arithmetic when it comes to giving. I just give. I don't know what I get my point. Yesterday, my wife and I were discussing, and I gave her a rundown of what our involvement in our alumni fellowship for one weekend cost us. 3 days. You know, it was very funny. That our convention is funny. I was joking with my wife. I said, this is the only church I get to. We don't take offerings. That's what I mean, a church now. It's not a church. It's an alumni fellowship. We have a convention. We had a total of like different sessions, 8 sessions, not an offering one time. Nobody even remembers. All right, let's share the grace. Okay, let's sing our song. We just like that and we'll disperse. All right, we'll gather again by 7 o'clock. Nobody remembers. We blew 6 million naira that weekend. 6 million bucks. During the business meeting, we were discussing. And it was all right. The largest single offering we got this time around 700,000. About 2 people gave 500,000 naira each. Many people gave 250. That was how we blew 6 million bucks one weekend. We stayed in the best hotel in Benin. Took more than 90 rooms. And we don't ask questions. Once you just walk in, all right, you're welcome. Put your name there. Okay, they give you your room. Where you go? Food is, you know what I mean? You fall down with food. You know that kind of thing. And I'm always excited. How much do people give? Nobody checks. I am the president. I only know the amount of money 2 people give. My family and one other brother who told me, sir, I'm going to pay my own. Oh, no, this is how much I'm paying. And I said, God bless you. Why? He was the one I told you last year, gave 100,000. I told him that's very stupid. Can you remember? So this time around, he reported himself early. He said, sir, I'm about to go to the bank. So I have repented. I said, good. Those are the only 2 people I'm aware of what they gave. It was when we were doing what we call business meeting. I'm the president, okay? So that was when the people invited. I said, okay, how much? How much large, highest amount of donation we got? Somebody said, okay, 700,000. I said, 700, okay, very good. I didn't ask them who. It's only 2 people that can tell you. They are the ones that are secret to the account. They are the ones that know what comes in. They are the ones that can tell you who put that money in. And when you get the guy who put the money, probably was wearing a t-shirt throughout and jumping all around. You will never suspect. And he doesn't want to preach. If you give him a microphone, you're embarrassing him. My job is drop pay. I come with the zone. Bam, heavy. All right? You guys with the premium, I go premium, I enjoy. Listen, it's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful life. Nobody's under pressure from anywhere. Without pressure, guys are doing. You are getting my point. That's what I want you to understand in Christianity. We were created for what? Good works. It irritates me when somebody comes to tell me, you owe God 10%. When you see those who are serving God, there are things you don't discuss. You see those who are serving God. And I know, where's your first fruit? I've eaten it. What's your problem? Am I not a priest of God? Why can't I eat it? Deborah will come after you. I'm waiting. Deborah come. In fact, Deborah, they respect. Are you getting my point? Deborah will say, oh, that guy, you go near, you will repay sevenfold. Just leave him. Leave him. Listen, what am I emphasizing? In Christ, we have a kind of liberty that if you walk into, you know serving God is sweet. Believe me, serving God is sweet. Serving God is sweet. I said to you before, Christian, when people talk about it, if you talk like this, Christians won't give. I said, you don't know Christians. If you talk like this, Muslims won't give. I agree. If you talk like this, unbelievers won't give. But Christians, no, you are lying. And you liberate them. You know what they call the Spirit of Christ? Let me tell you what the Spirit of Christ is. He gives his life. So when God pours his Spirit into somebody, you liberate the person. He will give his life for a good cause. Why do we do these things? We're not doing them because we want to feel righteous before God. God has helped me from learning his word. I can't remember. Maybe it happened 15, maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe it happened. That I did something and it gave me assurance to pray when I'm going to pray. No. 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 And what I mean is this. Sweetheart, how far? Have you given me that money? Now let's go and pray about that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to ask you, what? Deep inside. God, you see, we don't set to that side. We don't close the Vora. We don't open windows of heaven. We are just asking you now, you know, to use the windows that are open. You know, when I hear pastors preach some doctrines, I'll start laughing. One man said, if you are in a church and you are not tithing, every offering you give is in the seed, is in the field of another man. That with your tithe, you buy land. And then with your offering, you sow on it. So if you don't tithe and you give offering, you are sowing somebody else's land. And then they will now reap your harvest. I feel like saying, tell the guy, say, do you believe what you are saying? Or you're generally Baba? Because there are things you hear. You know this guy is cracking jokes. This guy is cracking jokes. He said, what do I mean? I'm just like, take a Bible. See, show me. We have to have a reference. Yeah, show me. Show me where you see land is bought with tithe and offering is what we plant on it. Or concoct all kinds of stories because we don't understand liberty in Christ. We Christians, we are doers of good works by nature. The way we breathe is the same way we do good works. I can't remember going to God and say, you will do this for me because I have done this. No. No. How do we get our things from God? We make demand based upon the word, which is ours because Jesus paid for it. So instead of saying that for everything that I've done for other people's children, God will bless my children. Is that nonsense? What do? We look for the scripture that says, mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. Jesus paid to make that scripture your own. So you gather your children and say, listen, you are the children of the righteous. Therefore, you will be mighty, mighty, mighty in the name of Jesus. Nothing. You're not relating to what you did for other people's children. Other people's children doing is called the doing of good works. You were created to do it. Whether you have children or not, you do it. As for your own children, their greatness is based upon the fact that the word of God said, as a man, as a woman that has been made righteous in Christ Jesus, your seed must be mighty on the earth. And I like that word seed. It doesn't only apply to children, it applies to everything that you do. Anything that you do, it applies to it. If you start a business, it must be mighty on the earth. Listen, so stop getting content with I have a shop somewhere. I'm happy. When you get back to work, get back to your business on Monday, speak to it. You are my seed. You will be mighty on the earth. Like I always say, Dangote is not a spirit. There's nothing like immaculate conception of Dangote. Have you ever heard of it before? A normal human being. I have realized something. I'm not joking about it. You want to be great in this life? Go and read the story of Jabez. Listen, though your beginning be small, your latter end will greatly increase.
Amen.
He said, were you not small in your own eyes?
Yes, sir.
Yet I made you. God is the one that makes people.
Yes, sir.
And he can make anybody. He said, God rules in the affairs of men. And he sets over it the lowliest of men. He said, he gives the kingdom to whosoever he chooses. Someone was telling me today, one of my friends was sending me jokes about our current president. When he sends a joke, I said, did this really happen? He said, yes. I said, President said this. He said, yes. I said, all right. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You remember what I preached on Tuesday? Because some things you say, I said, our president said this. I said, let's pray for you for wisdom in the name of Jesus. The guy said, amen. You know what they say? He could not have, the way the man talks, he could not have schemed to be president. It's not possible. It's not possible. Well, God, you know, the person who will be president in 2015, you know God has decided today. He has decided.
Amen.
God is the one that makes people. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Why did I go into that? We make our demands based on the word of God. Every good work is done because we were created to do them. That's what I'm emphasizing. Every good work that we do is done not because we are trying to get something from God. That's what I've been trying to emphasize. We do them because who else will do them? Very important. I said, who else will do them? If you don't do it, nobody's going to do it. It's your duty, and so the thing will not be done. So I'm going to do it because it's my duty. If I don't train my children, and my wife doesn't train them, who will train them? So forget all this adding that they'll take care of you tomorrow. No. It is my duty today. I was created to do these good works. Listen to me. As Christians, that is your attitude. Let me say one more time before I read the other scripture I want to read. You are not doing anything because with it, God will now say, okay, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me now bless you. No. You do good works because you were created. You are accepted in Christ. The reason why God accepts you, the reason why God blesses you, is because indeed you are a child of God and you have said, I believe in your son, Jesus Christ. That's it. Galatians chapter 2. I said we should open to the other one, right? Christ, the final truth, is the end to all our struggles. Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 2. I want to read a long portion and explain something, then we'll close. I think we'll be done. We'll be done. Paul here was in an angry mood. That is, he was really angry. And why was he angry? Because having preached the gospel to the Galatians, and the Galatians haven't believed, some people came and said to them, except you are circumcised and you obey the laws of Moses, you will not be pleasing to God. And that's why Paul was responding angrily. And he tried to explain something. Now, let me pick up from somewhere. Verse 15. This is what I said you will understand as I go on. I'm going to try and draw the parallel between Judaism and, you know, generally, what I call the times before. I want to draw a parallel between that, okay, and the African mindset, you know. I would explain as I'm going on. He said, we were Jews, verse 15, by nature, and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, because we know that our own works, that's what I'm talking about, not just the works of the law, but the works of goodness that people talk about, all right? That's the parallel I'm telling you about. For us, the law was not the laws of Moses, but the laws of goodness that people understand about life. He said, we know that one is not justified by those things. For that reason, we have believed in Christ Jesus. So we may be justified by faith in Christ Jesus, in Christ, and not by the works of the law or the works of our own goodness. Since by the works of the law, no flesh should be justified. And I said, but if we are seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners. Is Christ then a minister of sin? What he was saying is, listen to this. That's why I said I need to explain. And it will be easy because I've explained it before. What they were saying is that, having been justified by faith in Christ, you still need to keep these laws of Moses to really be justified. So what he's saying is that, what that means is that our justification in Christ has only made us sinners. For us to be needing something else to justify us again. That's what he was trying to explain. And that's one thing I'm trying to emphasize to people. If you need to do good works, as an example, to get prosperity from God, then you have not been fully justified in Christ. That's what Paul was saying. That's what he was saying. Now, listen to this. He said, is Christ then a minister of sin? He said, may it never be. Now, talking about Judaism, for if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I die to the law so that I may live to God. Now, where I'm going is verse 20. Then we'll go into chapter 3 so as to wrap everything together. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in Christ, I died to all the law. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's the summary, that's the main thing we are talking about in our message for today. He said, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Just continue reading. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Now please follow this again. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Now let me stop there. Now there's a reason why I read this. He said that everything you receive from God, you receive not by your works, but by what? Hearing with faith. Now, when I was reading this, I asked myself, what is hearing with faith? It's not a difficult thing. Let me give a very simple example. If I tell an average Nigerian now, let's organize a conference. Where will the conference be? It's going to be in Maiduguri. This is 2014. May 2014. You are already laughing. You are not laughing loud, but I can see your faces. You are laughing. What's funny? Are you getting my point? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Of course, for those who may be listening to this, they don't understand. Maiduguri is the capital city of Borno State. That used to be the headquarters of Boko Haram until we cast them out by faith. Are you getting my point? Most of the problems those people have caused in Nigeria, they've caused in that place. Most of their problems are in that place. That state was under emergency rule until recently. And people are still saying they should extend the emergency rule. Most people ran away from there. The place is desolate. Are you getting my point? The question is, how do you know all of this? You did not go there. That's where I'm going. Somebody told you about it. And you are making your decisions based on news you heard. You didn't go there. 90% of people here don't have any relative that was living there. Have you noticed? You probably never seen any picture of problems in Maiduguri. Think about it. Quickly. All the pictures you see is Abuja. Think about it quickly. Yet, I just suggested, let's have a conference in Maiduguri. Like, Pastor, what's wrong with Port Harcourt? Is it a Northern Conference? Okay, it's Northern Conference. Okay, maybe we should just, let's go to Port Isco. You are beginning to rearrange. Why? You heard news. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
That is what is called hearing with faith.
Yeah.
You heard something, you accepted it, and you are shaping your life according to what you heard. So in the same manner, I say to you simply, it's also news from the word of God. There are no curses in your life.
Amen.
You are free. And somebody said, all right, we'll go for deliverance. You say, why?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
It's just, why? What are you talking about? No deliverance. Deliverance is for those who have not been freed in Christ. How do you know you are free? Were you not there when the news was being read? Are you seeing what they call hearing with faith?
Yes, sir.
It's that simple. It's that simple. It is that simple. So Paul said, that is how you receive the Spirit. That is how you receive divine manifestations. That is how you receive divine blessings. God simply says it. You hear it and you just nod. And that's it. For example, before Boko Haram wa Allah started, I wasn't going to Maiduguri. Are you getting my point? I have never been there. So I am not going to go there now to try and prove that it's happening. I don't know whether I get the point. I heard it, I filed it. When it comes to prayer, we pray about it. We pray with, look, what if tomorrow you suddenly hear that there was no school, there's no town called Chibok, no girls were kidnapped. I don't know whether you get my point. You're like, who said that nonsense joke? Are you getting my point? Well, not knowing any of the girls, not knowing the town, you have been praying. You raise prayer points. Those 200 girls that are missing, in the name of Jesus. It's called hearing with faith. You heard it, you accepted it. And that's how God blesses you too. He said, this is your own news network, the scriptures. Are you getting my point? This is DNN. You know, there's CNN, Calamity News Network. This is the divine news network, telling you the stories of things that happened to you in the realm of the spirit. You were not a traveler into the realm of the spirit before. So you are not going there now to let me convey what that really happened. I believe the report of those who were there, and they said it happened like that. It's called hearing with faith. So, are you a sinner? No, I'm not a sinner. What do you mean you're not a sinner? Are you sure? Well, I was in the news. I was watching the news yesterday. And in DNN, it was stated that righteousness is by faith. And that if I believe in Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous. All things are passed away. I've been accepted in the beloved. I can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Were you not there when the news was being read? So I said, yes, I can't be. I heard the news. And I go about my life. I filed it. Are you getting my point? It is filed. It is filed. It is filed. It is filed. He said, let's do something now so that we will prosper. He said, what? What do you mean we should do something to prosper? We need to sow a dangerous seed. He said, bros. Where were you when the news was being read yesterday? That even though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Where were you during the news broadcast? So what are you going to do? I have filed it. So now I know that the poverty of my earthly father is not my problem. Are you sure? Don't you pay attention to news? That this one was born not of the will of flesh, but of the will of God. And if anyone is in Christ, he's a newly born creature. So the problem of my earthly father, it's not my problem. Because I was not born according to the will of flesh. The life I now live, this is how I live it. Oh. That's what it means by I live by the faith of the Son of God. Everything about me is described by what Jesus paid for. So what about your firstborn? He said, Jesus is the firstborn. I've been redeemed in him. He said, God owns your tithe. He said, why don't you listen to news? He died for all, so that those who live will no longer live for themselves. God owns everything I have. 100%. It's news. What about all the money you have? Oh, what's wrong with this guy? I don't have money. The money belongs to God. I am an administrator. I release the funds according to understanding, according to instruction. As I went for my convention, my brother and I, when we were talking later, He said, you know, you must understand. That's why once in a while people will suggest that let's get other people involved, you know. You know that kind of thing. There are many people, but you see that it's some people you will see more than the others. And I tell the people, I say, I don't believe in that. I say, each person has a gift. When you identify your gift, you will function in the appropriate place. I say, in this our convention, there are preachers. Not all of us are preachers. When it's preaching time, I give the microphone only to preachers. In the same manner, when it is giving time, the giving preachers, they know. We started a foundation. They are working on it now. And one brother was saying that time that, we started discussing, I gave you some of the gist here, about they said, universities are expensive. Even when I said that mission universities, are they costly? These men of God. I said, look, stop talking out of ignorance. I'm not discussing it now, but let me just tell those of you who do not know. Mission universities in Nigeria are not expensive. They are cheap. Education is expensive. What those men charge is less than what it costs to run that place. Trust me. Just for those who do not know, when my brother and I talked, three of us spoke like I did. It happened that one of those who spoke is an accountant in one of those universities, so he knows the figures. The other one is a professor of law in an American university, so he knows how he runs. And I happen to be a lecturer also in UNM. So when we spoke, I said, these are informed people. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about now. We said, instead of shouting and criticizing, what we should be doing is raising money to help people. I said, over the years, God has blessed us. So, brethren, what do? Let us start a foundation by which we give money to those who want to go to school, but they can't pay. Instead of sitting down and the money for expensive, anyway, you don't know how much it costs. Covenant University is cheap. Federal government doesn't pay their staff. Yet, they are not charging double. They are just charging about double of what UNILAG charges. Where is money coming from? I work for federal government. Federal government pays the money straight from Abuja, phew, into my account. My VC does not have to worry about my salary. In Covenant University, the money has to come from somewhere. There's no federal government giving them money. Be careful when you criticize. Don't be an ignorant person. Talk about things you don't understand. You've never run the nursery school. You are telling people how to run university. Well, I run nursery school first, then we'll go gist. I don't want to go into that, but this is why I'm telling the story. So we now said, all right, what do we do as children of God? Let us pull money together and start helping people. So we're putting the structure in place now. One of those, the one brother said, what could a million naira do? He said, if we can get 100 people to send 10,000 naira, we'll raise a million. Another brother said, 100 people to raise a million. That's the whole local government. That I want to raise a million, I talk to 100 people. If I would just laugh at that, I say, what's this brother talking about? 100 million, 1 million. You talk to 100 people. Are you campaigning for election? We said, no. My wife laughed when she read it. I said, my target is raise 30 million. And I'm talking about 100 people who raise. And listen, I'm not kidding about it. When I want the 30 million, I'm going to get it. Why? Because everybody has a gift. When we finish preaching, those of you that have their financial anointing, what are you talking about? You come, bring your 1 million, your 2 million, your 5 million, and there's no thank you, you know, my brethren. No, the thank you is general. All of you, you have tried, God bless you all. That is the only, who knows who's who. We don't do, there's no individual thank you. Just a blanket thank you. The only person that gets a lot of thank you personally is me, because I'm president. They say, our president and his ex-co, you know, they keep on writing it like that. But generally, all the thank you is blanket. Why? Each man has an anointing. Each woman has a gift. When it's time to prophesy and see vision, there are those who grab the microphone. The rest of us will be looking at them like this. And as we began to pray, the Lord began to show me. Mm-hmm. And I saw a cloud lift. Mm-hmm. And I believe every word of it. Are you getting my point? There's one brother who said his own anointing is to raise money for good causes. He was the one that coordinated that one job I was telling you about. Start calling people. Hey, you, how much? Give me 500. 500. Is that all you have? Bring it. 500. Okay. You know? He said, I found out that anytime it's time to raise money for a good cause, I always succeed. In fact, he got money from one brother. The other one said, now I know you're anointed. He said, this brother gave you money. He said, yes. He said, no. Now I believe in your ministry.
The Lord is good.
I said, the Lord is good. Why did I even go into all of that? I'm explaining the fact that the life we now live, we live by what? Faith in the Son of God. We know that our whole lives have been described in the Word of God. We're not trying to attain anything by ourselves. No, it's not our achievement. I like the way Bishop Oyedepo says it. He says it's a receivement. That God has done it in Christ. We hear the news and we just walk by it. Are you getting my point? The issue of long life is news. We hear it and believe it has happened. You know, I've told you before. People, you know, if you get my tweet, I talk about it. I say people worship all the time. It's who they worship that matters. Everybody worships. In the same manner, we all live by news. We do. It's whose news you are living by, that's the difference. That's it. The greatest news people live by these days is the confusion that comes out of medical science. When they say sugar is bad for you, nobody eats sugar again. They just file it. Like I told you the other day, I realized that I've been cursing my food for a long time. You give me food, too much sugar, too much oil, reduce the oil, reduce this one. Why? I heard the news that said this is bad for me and I believed it. So I've rejected it now. I've rejected it now. In case you do not, I've rejected it too. Anything I want to eat now, I eat. It's the word of God. So it is sanctified with prayer and thanksgiving. The fat in the oil is removed with prayer and thanksgiving. Now who says the fat is bad? You know, medical science have not found out that it's good. They just found out last year that it's good. That we have been deceiving you. No, you see. Better believe the word of God. Though. This is when you're confusing you. They say, no, it's not fat. No, it is sugar. And I said, I don't believe a word of it. What am I talking about? Bible says, do everything in moderation. So with food, we attack food with what? Moderation. But everything is good, nothing to be rejected. It has been sanctified with the word of God and prayer. It's news. I filed it. It's news. No doctor is coming to harass my life. So, Pastor Mark, I thought you're a doctor. Yes, I know my people. They tell lies a lot. Confusion. Never agreed on anything. Most of the medicine they practice is dictated by financial gain of the pharmaceutical companies. Yes, half of the drugs they sell to you don't work. But you know, it works in raising the share price of the company. As for your health, many of you just go and sleep. Listen, drink water. I'm digressing and I don't care. If you are sick, as a child of God, you know what you do? Take water. What did I call it?
Water.
Drink plenty. Eat good quality food in moderation. Pray the word of God. Lay hands on yourself. Take a weekend off and sleep. When you wake up, take a Bible and read. Get some good news for your life. Isaiah chapter 53. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I have been made well. I have been healed. But I don't feel well. I'm hearing the news. Let me hear it again. Yes. Play that news for me one more time. Then you sleep. So what about typhoid? Typhoid will catch you, it will die. Amen. I don't know what I heard what I said. Yes. Currently, you are the one catching typhoid and falling sick. Typhoid is about to catch you and it will die. Meningitis will catch you and die. Amen. When you hear of Ebola virus, don't be alarmed. You are more dangerous than Ebola. Amen. I don't know what I hear what I said. Yes. Ebola should hear you are coming to... What's that country again? Yes, Israel. One day we'll carry camera. Why? So that we'll put in the news. Kingdom of people are coming. Why? So that Ebola can hear. He said, let's go before we catch Pastor Banke and Israel. So they are a disease. That if we catch, we will die. They bring forth life. I don't know whether you get my point. He said, the gates of hell, the gates of Ebola cannot withstand our coming. We need to go and set a post in that place and be broadcasting the word from there. This is news I'm giving you. All this I'm talking about is what? News. Don't let these people control your life. Make sure it is the word of God that does what? Controls your life. What did I preach about today? Christ lives in you. The life you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God. Who loved you, died for you, and rose again on your behalf. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Just wave your hand and just say, Father, I thank you. I received the news from above. Thank God because you're already free. Oh. Say, Lord, I will give money, but not so as to buy anything from you. I'm giving out of abundance. I'm giving out of prosperity. Thank you because you have prospered me already. Say, Lord, thank you because already you have prospered me. I'm not afraid of the devourer. I will devour him in Christ Jesus. Say, because I'm seated high above. Say it, because I am seated high above. Say, Lord, that's the news and I believe it. Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? He said, who has believed his report? He said, to that person, the arm of the Lord will be revealed. It's what you believe. Believe it, you have been made righteous by faith. Believe it, all things have passed away. The sin that they say will hold you down, no, no. Every addiction is broken if you believe the news. Say, every addiction is broken. Every addiction is, every single addiction. Every single addiction is broken. If anybody walked in here today, you have any form of addiction, that word is for you. Just right there, believe in the Son of God, and I declare that thing broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what it is. It's the news of God breaks everything. Because if anyone is in Christ, you say you are a new creature. All things have passed away. All your problems have passed away. Listen, the problem of your family is not your problem. It is the story they had to tell. Today, you are in Christ Jesus free. Believe that news. He said, we receive the operation of the Spirit by hearing with faith. What is faith? We just hear it and we file it as being true. It's been true. You hear the news from the Word of God and you believe it. So say, Father, I thank you because the news I have from your Word is the news of good, the news of deliverance, news of salvation, news of healing. It's mine. I believe it. I believe it. Say it. I believe it.